this heaven?
No. It's Iowa.
Here we are at the 2024 NFL Draft, and the clock is ticking. The pick is in. The Minnesota Vikings select
David fucking Putney.
Wait, the pick isn't in. The Cleveland Browns jump the Vikings because they missed their pick.
So the Browns get David fucking Putney.
Kevin, you pancake-eating motherfucker.
The Vikings fans just look so confused and distraught.
Vontae Mack, no matter what.
A return man.
You have that written on your shirt. We're talking draft day on the Pot of Dreams.
This is the draft day Browns fans were waiting for.
Sonny, I hope you're listening. You run this team. You're the general manager. You can fix it.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Sonny.
Sonny. Every year, someone comes out of this looking like a donkey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good, because tomorrow I got a feeling it could be you if you don't make this deal.
Let's talk about the draft. I need you to make a splash, Sonny. If you can't do it, then I have to do it.
Just to be clear here, you're threatening to fire me, right? Your job is to coach a team I give you. They do it different in Dallas?
Yeah, they do. They win. A lot.
How is it that the ultimate prize in the most macho sport ever invented is a piece of jewelry?
We talk football?
We can always talk football.
I just want the team that I want one time.
You see things other people don't see.
Rewind that back to the start of the play.
That's one of the things I love about you. All that matters is what you think. Write your own story, Sonny.
I want this team's future back. Let's get busy.
Draft day. History in the making. 224 young men are about to become players in the National Football League.
Bo Callahan, he's the surefire slam dunk number one pick.
Trade me. I'm going to do what's best for the team.
This is the draft analysis we've all been working on for the last 2 months.
Just made a trade with the Seahawks.
Sonny, that's our future.
You sold a cow for magic beans.
How does the entire world already know about this, Mom?
Because I just tweeted it.
You're on Twitter?
You're not.
I love having the number one pick.
I hope that you would.
The Cleveland Browns are now on the clock.
It's go time, boss. You're going rogue.
Who are you going to take?
What's happening?
Who are you picking?
You son of a...
I need 5 minutes, and then you can fire me.
I got Shawn Michaels on the line.
Sonny, are we trading six?
I quit, Sonny.
Don't quit. See what I do from here. You're going to like this.
The football world is in shock, wondering what exactly the Cleveland Browns, Sonny Weaver Jr., is cooking up here.
They're not going to believe what's happening.
You make this deal right now, say it with me.
An absolute stutter.
Okay, screw it. No more offer.
You're out of your mind.
Yeah, I am. Haven't I proved that already?
All right, everybody, welcome to the Pod of Dreams. If you listen, we will pod. This is Eric, Ben, and Kevin, the draft experts, NFL draft experts.
Dun, dun,
we're talking...
Dun,
dun, dun, dun. Can we do a little Chris Berman? The rumbling, bumbling.
Stumbling his way to the end zone.
He's in this movie quite a bit. Yeah, so we're talking the 2014 film Draft Day starring Kevin Costner. A fictional recount of the 2014... Is it the 2014 draft in the movie, right? They say that, I think. Picked this movie because it's draft season. We just finished the NFL draft, the 2024 NFL draft. We were just talking about the Vikings. Luckily, fell into the J.J. McCarthy sweepstakes, I guess, and picked him because the Falcons are stupid and signed Kirk Cousins and then... apparently also drafted a quarterback with the 8th pick. Anyways, that's the real
quarterback
world.
Heavy.
And paid Cousins, what, $100 million over 4 years?
Yeah, usually you want to have like $200 million tied up in your starting quarterbacks. So that's a good strategy. But anyway, so that's the real NFL draft. We're talking the fake NFL draft from this movie.
Wait, this was fake?
I thought this was
a documentary about the actual 20. It seemed so realistic and plausible.
And there are several idiotic things that happen in this movie. I mentioned the Falcons taking a quarterback after signing a quarterback. There are incredibly dumb things that happen in this movie. We'll break it all down. We're going to go pick by pick, I think.
We need to go almost choice by choice because this movie makes a lot of really dumb, confusing choices.
But if you haven't seen the movie, I don't recommend seeing it. Don't watch this movie. It's not very good.
But, Eric's bitter. Eric, who was at your birthday party?
No one.
Oh, what do you think? Do you think it's plausible, Kevin, that the best podcaster in the history of podcasting had nobody attending his birthday party? Does that make sense to you?
We weren't there. That's all I know.
I didn't get
it. You read the playbook, Eric?
The Wisconsin Badgers starting quarterback, by the way. I love that he turns out to be a little bitch. That made me happy. I guess that was one A-plus point in this movie. The other A-plus point in this movie is the Seahawks are even dumber than Kevin Costner in this movie. So
what about referencing the real-world mistakes by the Minnesota Vikings of not getting their pick in time? Was that, did you subtract a point or two from the movie?
I didn't think that was called for. It's an uncalled-for reference. Like, the Vikings didn't need to stray. Yeah. It's not like he missed the pick and they're like, ooh, this just is like the same thing that the Vikings did. It didn't need to be in there. It was just...
They just want to create the stakes. What happens, right? Because so much of this movie is about the stupid ticking clock. They want to make sure viewers know what happens if you miss the clock and why it's such a big fucking deal.
Biggest problem with this movie is it treats the people who are watching a movie about the NFL draft as if they've never seen it before in their entire lives. Like, why would you see a movie about the NFL draft unless you were like jazzed up for the NFL draft? That's the biggest...
Even if you like the NFL draft, I'm not sure why you'd watch this movie. This felt like... if you got the Hallmark Channel to make a movie about the NFL draft is what this movie felt like to me. Just like utter
if they
nonsense.
Got big stars. I mean, there were some names in here.
But yeah, that's the one thing. Yeah. They get real like newscasters, sportscasters in. And Roger Goodell. And they get like the actual real people.
Everyone yeah, but you also coach. Kevin Costner and Chadwick Boseman, mm-hmm. Sam Elliott, Jennifer Gardner.
So, yeah. So what do you think Kevin Costner brought to this role? Exactly.
Slow talking. Very slow talking.
His name is just about
correct.
It.
His name and his face. But that sigh says it all. It's like this is Kevin Costner's horribly miscast, or he just doesn't care, or whatever. This doesn't work. He's a salt of the earth guy, man of few words, every man. Why see this rich Nepo baby who doesn't really seem to care? He's like sleepwalking the entire movie. And when he does get mad,
he's terrible at his job. I mean, he is an absolute terrible GM. Doesn't check with the coach, drafts a guy. So let's just get into the movie. It starts where it's draft day, right? He wakes up in the morning and
we're following the Cleveland Browns, if you didn't know. Right. One of the losingest franchises in the NFL for the last
And in the movie, they start the draft with the seventh pick? Sixth pick?
Correct, seventh. Number seven. No,
seventh
it's number
pick.
Seven.
Right, okay.
Lucky number
so
seven.
And so that's the day he's the Browns. The Browns, we learn later on that they were like 6-1, and then their starting quarterback got hurt.
Do we care that it starts off with him and Jennifer Garner, and he finds out that she's pregnant or something like that?
Do we need to even talk about this stupid drama aspect?
The love story, yeah.
They just needed filler. Yeah, he finds out Jennifer Garner, who's like 20 years younger than him or something, that she's pregnant. And I guess she's mad about it, although she doesn't seem that mad. Kevin Costner seems really, she's like going about her day, and he's really worried about what she's thinking and constantly is trying to talk about it all throughout the day.
And she sort of works for him, right?
Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah, there's a power dynamic and age dynamic. Yep.
He traps her in a storage locker storage room a few times in the movie. So this is pre-Me Too. So Kevin Costner's character didn't get caught up in Me Too, although maybe he should have. So that's basically the setup. It's draft day. He's like, his dad was the coach, and then he fired his dad, and then his dad died. Again, didn't need any of that. It didn't help the plot or the characters in any way, except it made him seem like an asshole for most of the movie.
Well,
now
he
we
was
find
an
out
asshole.
Later on.
He was an asshole.
Yeah, he's a big time asshole.
He got the job because his dad. I mean, this is a guy who got to just have a seat at the football table because his dad was a coach.
So learned that he was in the 49ers organization, right? And his dad is like a legendary head coach of the Browns, even though the Browns have been terrible forever. So how was he a legendary coach? It's not like he won a Super Bowl or anything.
Correct.
So it's where they're naming a field after like a mediocre coach that never won anything, but
they like it for whatever reason. But almost certainly his dad got him the job. I mean, like, I don't think Kevin Costner earned any of his positions in the NFL. I think that purely was legacy hires by the 49ers.
Yeah, that never happens in Iowa or anything like that.
It happens all over the place.
Or indeed. The NFL, yeah.
All over the place. Brian Ferentz, who's now an analyst, I think, for Maryland. So, yes, it happens all the time. So, anyway, yes, he's like, you don't root for him in the beginning. You're like, and you see his house, right? We see him in his giant house with a super nice car. I don't root for you from the get-go. I don't care if you make a bunch of bad picks and get fired. I do not care. From scene one, I'm not on board with any of the stuff that happens. I don't care. It's part of the problem. He is an asshole. I mean, anyway, carry on, Eric.
And the owner tells him he's got to, like, make a splash. He's got to do something. And what we find out is there's this quarterback who's supposed to be number one, great prospect from the University of Wisconsin.
He must have been redshirted about 12 times because he looked like he was in his 30s.
At first I thought he was Pete Diddy's, like, assistant when we first see him. He's, like, asking which, like, shirt to wear. And I thought it was, like, his gay lover. I mean, honestly, I thought, like, oh, this is, like, his...
P. Diddy's?
Yes. Yes, the on-the-run P. Diddy's.
Yeah, it was, like, speaking of...
problematic, me too.
Yeah, people that hasn't aged well.
P. Diddy. Like, wait, oh, no, that's actually the pro quarterback who's, like, in his hotel room together in a... feels very intimate and weird way. Anyway, yeah. Can't miss quarterback prospect.
Yeah, he looks like an old 35.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. And so we start to think that Costner's like, oh, I need to get this guy. And he gets a call from, I don't know, people listening to this probably don't know this, but Ben, your beloved Ben on this podcast, is a gigantic Seattle Seahawks fan. Loves them. Favorite
franchise.
The only
thing that makes me happy in life is Seahawks football.
Only thing. And so the idiot from the Seahawks, the pancake-eating motherfucker, calls Kevin Costner and basically ploys him into trading his first pick. So the Seahawks have the first pick.
Yep.
Trading the first pick.
And the Seahawks need a quarterback. Can we make this very clear?
Right.
They make it very clear that they desperately need a quarterback.
It's so conventional wisdom would be just draft the best quarterback prospect. But they're stupid and idiots, and this is a dumb movie.
The owner says that we want to trade down. The day of the draft. I mean, it's like there's no planning that went into any of this. Nobody did contingencies. Nobody, like, what do we do with X and Y and Z? Nobody did any of that stuff. Nobody had a game plan. It was like, well, maybe we should just trade down, I think.
But we learned that a lot of teams had questions about this quarterback, but the Seahawks were not one of them. They thought he was, like, surefire, can't miss.
So why didn't they want to draft him?
It's unclear.
Did they give a reason?
They like accumulating draft picks. That was all. The only thing is, like, the owner's like, I want a stockpile. I like this trade that happened the other year. I want a bunch of draft picks. Please
He's
do
an
that.
Analytics guy. He wants more bites at the apple.
Sure.
So he convinces
has a conversation and
Costner to trade three first round picks. It was eventually two, and then he makes it the third into a first round pick, right?
Yep. Yeah, it was going to be two first swapping picks. A first round and then a third round.
Yeah. And Costner says, got it. Perfect.
He does it because his owner wants him to make a splash. He never really – see, I don't understand why that happens. He's like – he has to meet the owner at the water park. Did the owner make him go to that water park just for the stupid metaphor? Like, come out here. I need to have a meeting with you at this closed water park right now, please.
Right.
I guess.
Cleveland.
Yeah. Big on draft park. Day when you should be doing something else.
It's probably very coldest
mid-April
day.
Yeah, mid-April.
In Cleveland, we didn't get it. I guess people wouldn't understand it. So I guess because of that, he's like, I guess I have to do this or I get fired.
They kind of rip on Cleveland, don't they? I know, like, Dennis Leary talked about all the rich people in Dallas. And he's like,
fancy people or something like that. He
doesn't
fancy
like
people.
Fancy people. He wants to win a championship with the people of Cleveland. He doesn't care about fancy stuff. He's got to deal with his wife complaining to him, you know, just bitching and moaning.
There's a few, like, subtle racist things Dennis Leary says, too. I can't remember it somewhat off the top of my head, but there's a couple lines he has. I'm like, huh, that's an interesting perspective. And it's maybe more real to life because it's like he's like a, you know, pro football coach, like, you know, I bet a lot of those guys aren't exact.
John Gruden got in trouble for it.
Right. We saw his text messages.
Yeah.
That's one of the few casting decisions I'm like, I get it. Dennis Leary is an asshole coach. Okay, that works. Yeah. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Real Nick Saban vibes.
Surprisingly well cast.
But, okay, yeah. Draft day. So he's got to make a trade up. Seattle has to make a trade down.
We learned that Costner has been having phone calls with Chadwick Boseman, who's supposed to be this, like, pretty stellar defensive player for Ohio State, right? He's an Ohio State linebacker.
Ooh, Vontae Mack.
Yeah, why is the quarterback, though, not from Ohio State and the linebacker from Wisconsin? Other than Russell Wilson, when was the last Wisconsin quarterback that was worth a damn?
I wanted to talk about that. The choice of having this, like, you know, surefire quarterback prospect to be from Wisconsin is a weird choice. It's just weird, man. I don't know why that came about. It doesn't make, you know, a defensive player from Ohio State makes sense. But yeah, I mean, let's. I was gonna pull it up. I hadn't had a chance to, but like Wisconsin quarterbacks drafted, I bet there's not many. Because even Russell Wilson, he was like a transfer to Wisconsin.
Right, from NC State, yes. I think Scott Tolzien was like made it in the NFL for a hot minute, as did another guy who was like a backup in Green Bay and wasn't particularly good. Names escape me, but it was pretty weird. But, I mean, we have to talk about each trade, because Seattle goes from the first pick to the seventh pick, and they pick up two additional first-round picks, which is... Seattle absolutely annihilated Cleveland in that trade.
Yeah, it's moving up six spots or whatever, seven
spots.
Dropping
six spots to gain two first-round picks is an incredible deal for Seattle.
So yeah. Since 1943, there's been 10 quarterbacks drafted from Wisconsin. Okay. Russell Wilson was a third-round pick in 2012. And looks like Ron Miller in 1961 was a third-round pick. That's the highest... a Wisconsin quarterback has been drafted as third the third round.
Yeah. Okay.
In the history of the NFL. So, yeah. Very, very interesting choice.
They could have went with USC that had a number of first round picks. Could have went with, I don't know, Oklahoma.
Stanford. I mean, any school. It just, Wisconsin's such a weird choice. Yeah. Don't get it. Maybe it is the Russell Wilson effect, because he had just been, you know, a couple of years earlier been drafted and turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah, sure, I guess. But then if you're doing that thing, Seattle was absolutely not in the market for a quarterback in 2013. They just won a Super Bowl. Right. So I don't know. I don't know how the teams got picked, but Seattle fleeces Cleveland. Kevin Costner, because he's desperate, makes the trade up so he can get Bo Callahan.
He has a quarterback, by the way.
Well, he's coming off an injury, Kevin.
Like I said, like we learned the guy, he was 6-1, kicking ass, and then hurt his knee, and they went like 6-10.
But that was the guy's like seventh year in the league or whatever, though, right? Like, it's not like they had a rookie.
Right, right. Yeah, he wasn't a young quarterback. So he'd been around, had some injuries, and... He was a Costner guy, right? Costner brought him in earlier in his tenure or something like that. He didn't draft him, did he?
No. Scott, I don't. So this was when I think Costner was at San Francisco, and he told his dad to draft him, didn't he?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
So he's responsible for being Cleveland, but not technically his pick.
This is only Costner's second full year or something like that with the team.
Third draft. Okay. With the Browns. Okay.
That's right.
Kind of like Kwesi.
Who?
Yeah. The Vikings GM.
Vikings GM.
Got it.
Who just fleeced the Falcons. So there's a bunch of drama in between all this, which doesn't add anything to the movie. You know, there's family stuff. His mom's there.
Why does his mom show up? Like, the dad recently died, and the mom who knows football, whose husband has been a coach... assumed his entire adult life.
Why
shows
was
up
his,
on draft day.
Why was his ex-wife there? Is my question.
Well, they had a reading of his will the same day.
Yeah, why would the ex-wife be at that?
Maybe she was in the will? I don't know.
Unlike you, I was at the will reading. Okay.
It would have made sense if it was his sister or something. That's what I was thinking. But then when
I was like, he's getting like very sassy with his sister. That's a little weird. And then they waited a minute to reveal that it was his ex-wife.
Who's apparently chummy with the mom. Okay. Well, there's no way she would have actually shown up there on that. She would understand. Today is a crazy day for my son. I'm not going to go in today. Like, I'm just not going to do it.
But then, out of the blue, he puts the pick in. They have the first pick in the draft. And instead of picking the guy that he traded up for,
Bo Callahan,
he picks Vontae Mack, Chadwick Boseman.
Who would have been lucky to have been picked 15th, by the way.
They just said it. If the Browns didn't pick him at 6, he was going to fall way in the late first round.
Traded down and still gotten the linebacker. He could have acquired draft capital and still drafted the guy. Yeah.
Correct. So, absolutely moronic, unrealistic, terrible, stupid, idiotic thing that happens. It's just dumb. It's just, like, that's, like, the
But Vontae big is good surprise. With kids. He's good with kids. People like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, wasn't he's got, like, a trap. Okay, there's so many dumb things.
Wasn't there the big reveal was that Vontae tells him to watch the end of the game where they played Wisconsin, and we watched the clips of it. And Vontae Mack just toasting Callahan, busting his ass. He has like 3 sacks.
Four sacks.
Get it right.
Okay. Yeah, busting his ass. And then he gets ejected. We find out he was ejected from the game, and they're like, yeah, typical thug getting ejected from a football game.
Yeah, they didn't know it was his sister that he was handing the ball to?
That was a reveal? Because he hands the ball to somebody like, oh, he probably just handed it to some chick that he loves. And it's like, it was his dying sister with cancer. And then the ref flags him and he kind of bumps the ref and gets ejected, which was character, red flag on that guy. Don't draft him. It's so stupid. So idiotic. So, I mean, that's
I hate that it was framed as a reveal. Yeah, that's what we – and they didn't know that he was thrown out of that. It sounds like it would have been a big game. Ohio State, Wisconsin, they would know that Ohio State's best defensive player was thrown out of the game, and they would know that. Yeah, that made me mad. That was, aggressively dumb.
My guy from Veep, what's his name? The tall guy, Timothy Simmons or something.
I know who you're talking about, but yeah.
He's like the one doing the video, and he's like, oh, wait, I think he got ejected from this one. And it's like, we have not talked about this yet. You haven't talked about how your quarterback that you want to draft or the linebacker who you're thinking about drafting got ejected from the game where they played each other? Like, how have you not talked about this as a franchise yet? Insane.
No, can we talk about also how fast was it Frank Langella is the owner of the Browns? Can we talk about how fast
he goes from New York to Cleveland?
In like 20 minutes.
Private jet, baby.
Like, he hears the pick and he's there in 40 minutes. I get that it's a private plane, but he's still got to get from whatever Radio City Music Hall to the airport, to the Cleveland airport, and to the Browns office. It's insane. He like teleports, basically. It's like, goodness gracious. This is ludicrous.
That's right. Because it would have been like from the first pick to he was there by like the fourth or fifth pick.
At the latest, the beginning of the Jags pick. So if you look at 40 minutes would have elapsed. He got there from New York City to Cleveland in 40 minutes, which I do not think is possible, even with a private plane. I don't think he could be there.
Unless he had like a helicopter on the roof of Radio City Music Hall. Still don't think it would work.
It's like so stupid. Why do we need him there?
Why did he even go to New York? That didn't make any sense either. Like, what was?
Because he wanted to give Bo Callahan his jersey
and just get some FaceTime and show the Browns fans all the awesome things they're doing. He wanted to make a splash, Eric. He wanted to get the fans wet
while wearing sunglasses.
He'd been waiting to make that joke this whole time, haven't he?
He's so proud of himself.
Yeah, he's still laughing, ladies and gentlemen. Still laughing.
So proud.
So stupid.
His water park joke. This he's been just sitting on it the whole time.
Aggressively stupid. The movie made the joke itself. People want to get wet. It was obviously a double entendre in the movie. I don't get credit for it. So dumb. Yeah, that's why. But he got there in 40 minutes. He got there in time to see Pat Healy just makes the just dumbest panic move of all time.
So what happens is Bo Callahan then doesn't get drafted. He falls because Costner's calling all these teams and like kind of dogging this guy. Like, hey, man, I don't know. Nobody went to his birthday party. Check it out.
He didn't know $100 was in the back of the playbook.
Right.
And then he lied about it. He doubled down on the lie. Nobody got the balls to do that.
Yeah, the guy who had the intel on it, that guy was something special, man. It's like, stop everything. I need to tell you this. And he took the $100 or didn't know that. He didn't read the playbook, guys. Like,
and then he lied about it. First guy ever to really lie hard.
It was the worst thing you could ever do. Like, he had buried a kid in his backyard or something like that. It's like, no. He just didn't read the stupid playbook you handed him.
He probably got 30 playbooks, and it's like, I'm not reading 30 playbooks. Yeah. I don't care. This doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, he's Bo Callahan. He just has to be picked first, and why would he care?
And then I'll worry about, what playbook I need to learn. Like, yeah, whatever. And then the Brian Drew reveal. Only one guy had the weirdest. Ask me who it was, Eric Kevin. Ask me who the strangest response was. Sent the $100 back and said, I'll keep it. Which I'm glad I've seen the movie now because somebody made a joke about J.J. McCarthy on Twitter and I didn't understand it. It was a reference to this movie. Somebody said, J.J. McCarthy had the strangest response I've ever seen to like getting a playbook from the Vikings. He mailed back the $100 bill and said, keep this when I win you, until I win you a Super Bowl.
That's hilarious.
Wait, like, did he do that or did somebody just make a joke?
Somebody just made it up. Okay. I was I didn't get it.
If J.J. McCarthy did that, then I'm a huge fan of him because that's fucking baller. To reference this dumbass movie from 10 years ago would be great. But
when he was 11?
Right. Doesn't he like meditate or something? He does weird pregame. Yeah.
Sure.
That's fine. Cool. That's cool. It seems like cool. Listens to Bob Marley a lot is what I heard too.
Yeah.
Cool guy. Real cool guy.
His favorite song. So Kwesi, our GM, he asks every prospect what their favorite song is for whatever the fuck reason, for one of these stupid draft day type reasons.
Yeah, we need to just...
His favorite song is jamming.
Some guy was like...
His favorite song is Loser by Beck. I'm not drafting this guy.
Oh, man. His favorite song is Hotel California. Oh, my God.
Rolling by Limp Bizkit is my favorite song. Oh, first pick. Like, that would affect anything? It's like, oh, this guy's got good taste in music, or what a dipshit.
What a stupid question.
Yeah.
Okay, so we find out that, for whatever reason, the quarterback, nobody else picks Bo Callahan, can't miss quarterback. Kevin Costner picks Vontae Mack, the guy who was going to be there at 7, and who would have been there if he traded down.
Right.
Which is a fireable offense anyway.
Right. Right. That to me immediately is, and Kevin Costner defends it. He's like, he's my guy. He's the guy. He's going to be great. And it's like, dude, just what you did right there, like pack your bags. You picked a guy, you traded 3 first round picks for a guy. You could have got like 6 or 7 picks after the pick you had. Like, pack your bags. You're done. I don't need an explanation. I don't need to see anything more. You're fucking out of here. That is the dumbest, most idiotic thing I've ever seen. You're out.
But you got to wait. Watch him cook. Watch him cook, Eric.
Right.
He's got something going on.
And I mean, I guess eventually there is a redemption to it, but it's only a redemption because the Seahawks end up being even worse at their job.
The Jaguars being stupid, and yes, the Seahawks. Back-to-back just next level stupid moves by 2 different franchises. But before that, right, so Bo Callahan doesn't get picked first, and then he doesn't get picked second or third, right? Like, oh my gosh, people aren't taking Bo Callahan, what's wrong? And one of the picks that happened was the Rams, and they say the Rams picked who they were planning on picking anyway, who was whomever, it doesn't matter. I bring this up because when Kevin Costner is talking to the Jags guy, he says, the Rams took my guy. I don't know what to do. The Rams took my guy. But the Rams took who they were going to take anyway. This movie is like, the dialogue doesn't connect at all. It just throws me back.
You have the, what, 6th pick in the draft or 7th pick in the draft, and you don't have a plan B? It's like, correct. No, it's the only guy.
No contingency. He's panicking.
Oh, my God. He picked the guy I wanted. Oh, it's
he's like
over.
A guy who's like, playing fantasy football for the first time.
Well, even a fantasy football guy has this, like, a second or third option. Like,
no, this is like some dumb guy who's like, fantasy football dribble. I know who I want. It's going to be this guy.
Everyone was on auto draft, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And nobody else calls him to try to trade up. Nobody. Nobody else is like, oh, Bo Callahan fell. We'll take him at 6 or trade up. Nobody. It's just Kevin Costner, who's just gives him 3 second-round picks for the 6th overall pick because he's panicking in a room full of people. It's like, it drives me nuts. Isn't he going to have his trade value chart? They're going to just have a bunch of nerds. Like, what's the value of this pick? How many pick points is it worth? Is this a fair trade? I mean, he's going to have a whole cast of people doing that.
Doesn't he get third-round picks, too? Nope. Isn't it his seconds and thirds?
Nope. It's just 3 second-round picks for the 6th overall.
Yeah,
the
3 second-round picks, yeah.
I mean, that on its face isn't the worst trade.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out where the line was. It depends on which model you use. Some people, some models said that the 3 second-round picks was a really good value. Some said it was a really terrible value. It depends on how much value you view as a first-round pick versus the second round and how you equate those. But
yeah, and especially future picks.
Because you don't know what they're going to be worth, right? Yeah. You don't know.
Right.
If the Browns suck, it's worth more. If they're good, then it's worth less.
Right. But, the Browns were not a very good team. They could be hot. I mean, they could be, you know, high picks, high second-round picks. So it's a dumb thing because, you're trading out of the first round for nothing. I mean, for just future picks.
You want to calm it down. You want to have a chance to, like, get your head together with these people you apparently haven't talked with before today. This is just the first conversation you've had with your draft team. Very dumb. You're a new GM. Wouldn't you want to, like, it would just be so obvious to take Bo Callahan at that spot. Like, okay, this guy fell to 6. Okay, I'll take him.
But why did he fall to 6? Why? Kevin Costner says he's going to be a bust. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Like, nobody's going to be mad at you for picking that guy 6th if he falls.
No one went to his birthday party. You're crazy.
So is Kevin Costner just saying nobody on his team likes him, or that he's just such a dweeb that he couldn't get anybody to come? Like, what's the reasoning? We don't even know
what happened. Did his friends attend or not? According to Sam Elliott, who's in this movie for fucking 20 seconds, says, does seem very believable to you. Bo Callahan doesn't remember.
That was like an hour of filming. That was an hour of filming for Sam Elliott. He wasn't even in the movie with anyone else. He's just on a phone call.
Like, come here to this field. We got a bunch of dudes in Wisconsin jerseys. Come here. We're going to film you.
Well, I did want to talk about, there's a filmmaking aspect of this movie that just got on my fucking nerves.
The split screen stuff
got right on my nerves real quick. Like, I get that there's a lot of phone calls, there's a lot of back and forth, and like, how do you make that? But it just got so tired. No wonder this was Reitman's last movie. It seemed like he was phoning that shit in. I didn't like it. Did you guys care for that? Or
No,
it was distracting and silly.
Yes.
Yeah, because there were some scenes where they would like sort of flow into each other, where they weren't split screen anymore, where they were like literally next to each. It looked really dumb. I got
sick of the overhead shots of football stadiums with the home of the. I got really sick of that too.
Well, that again is
the Buffalo Bills.
It's what it makes you feel like a dummy for watching this movie. It's like, I know who the Bills are. I know that they're in Buffalo. You don't need to spoon feed it to me like I've never watched a football game. I'm watching a movie about the NFL draft. Like, of course I already know football. If you don't know football, you should not be watching a fucking movie about the draft. You'd be like, this is so stupid. We're spending a whole movie about guys getting picked for other teams. This is idiotic.
It was idiotic, but okay. So the Jaguars' new GM is young and panics because he panics. Gives up his pick and the chance to draft. I was just like, everything drove me nuts. Like, so Denver had the 5th pick, and they have an all-pro quarterback. Why were they so like, their record had to be worse than the Browns, as bad or worse, to have the fifth overall pick. So they have an all-pro quarterback and they won like four games. How good could that all-pro quarterback have possibly been?
His name was Kirk Cousins.
I mean, Kirk Cousins is good for six, seven wins if he's not injured, which would put you ahead of the Browns and keep you out of the top five. Drove me absolutely nuts.
That was strange. Maybe he was injured. I don't know.
Like, the odds of you being a top 10, like, if there's anybody who doesn't know, like, the worst teams get the best pick, right? Seattle got the number one pick in this movie because they had the worst record in the NFL the season prior. So they get the number one pick. The better you do, the team that wins the Super Bowl gets the last pick of each round. That's how it works. So the odds of being one of the top 10 picking teams and not desperately needing quarterback is slim. If you have a great quarterback, if you have a surefire quarterback, you're almost certainly not going to be in the top 10. It's just dumb. Like, there's no reason the other teams would have passed up on Bo Callahan, but okay. He gets Bo Callahan. Seattle fell down to the seventh pick.
So Seattle didn't have the Jaguars' number, I guess. Is that right?
I think they assumed that the guy was too stupid to make the correct pick. I think everybody just seemed to know this Jags GM was stupid. But why wouldn't everybody be trying to fleece him if you thought this guy was dumb? Like, it's not like Kevin Costner offered that much. I was trying
to look up. So it looks like, interesting enough, in 2022, it wasn't until the 20th pick that a quarterback was drafted. Because I was thinking, I was like, in this movie, we get to until Seattle trades back in with the Browns to the sixth pick where a quarterback's taken. Like, how often has that ever happened where we go through the top five picks and a quarterback's not taken? But I guess in 2022, we went all the way to the 20th pick where Kenny Pickett was the first quarterback drafted.
He shouldn't have been picked then either.
You're going to have years
Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis, Matt Corral. Like, these are terrible quarterbacks that year. And then Brock Purdy was the last one. He's the only one that's any good.
And he's the best one, yeah.
And that's like a historically bad year for quarterbacks. But you're not going to have a year where, like, Peyton Manning is the surefire can't-miss number one or number two pick, depending on how much you believed in Ryan Leaf, and he's going to fall that far. It's just not going to happen.
Every year the first pick is a quarterback.
Like, Andrew Luck fell to the fifth pick. I'm taking him. Great. Like, whoever.
2015, 16, 18, 19, 20, 21.
The most recent draft.
24, 23, Bryce Young. Like, yeah, I mean, almost every year a quarterback's the first pick.
Yeah. Well, there were six taken in the first 12 picks this year.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting, so I read something about when they were filming, this was right around, I guess, when the actual 2014 draft occurred. And that was the Johnny Manziel year where the Browns did actually trade. Didn't they trade up to get him?
Yeah, traded up to like 22 or something like
that. Back in the first round. And yeah, he was a historical bust.
But I don't know. So then Seattle decides ultimately that they need the quarterback that they could have taken with the first overall pick. They really desperately need him right there in a position where they're one pick away from getting the guy they wanted anyway, trading down and acquiring a bunch of draft picks. And the guy there is the Browns, who chose not to pick the guy in the first overall and just traded up a bunch of picks.
Yeah, they basically just wipe what they did completely off the map.
That's what happens. But like, before Seattle agrees to the trade, I want my picks back. And David fucking Chutney, just because I feel like it. Like, before that even happened, I mean, all the GMs in this are so confused about what they want and have no clear vision or plan. If you wanted that quarterback so badly, you could have had him with the first pick. If you were willing to give him up and you're one pick away, and the team that could have drafted that same quarterback chose not to, why would you think they'd be so committed? You want to draft him with the sixth pick, that's fine. Go ahead. We'll just
It would have been interesting to see, like, what would he have done, like, with that pick? You know what I mean? What would Costner have done if he hadn't traded it back to Seattle?
Says no way.
Right. If Seattle's like, go fuck yourself. We got your picks. Go pound stand. Like, what does he do? Because then he's really fucked. Then Costner is like,
well, if he picks Callahan, he's got a shot at saving his job, I suppose.
Maybe.
Because that would be the only play he could have. I kept hoping, like, I knew this wasn't going to happen, but I kept hoping, like, just keep talking to Kevin Costner until the clock runs out and they don't get a pick in, and then you can just pick Bo Callahan, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Like we talked about the Vikings, you pretend you make a trade, don't call it in. And
sure.
Well, that happened actually this year. Wasn't there something, it wasn't a missed pick, but didn't Sean Payton say he goaded the Vikings into trading up? Because the Denver had the pick where the Vikings traded up to get their linebacker, right? Their Vontae Mack in the first round. I'm talking in real terms in the NFL draft. But I thought I saw some interview where Sean Payton was pretending he was going to take him and never did, and kind of goaded them to trade up ahead of them. And just being a dick, it's like, what is this? How does that help you in any way, making them do that you weren't going to pick them anyways? But that's something the Seahawks could have done. It's just like, you know, fuck with him. Wait, so you're saying they had the 7th pick then?
Yeah, so that's why Costner went after the Jaguars. I want to get it Browns, so that I want to try to get my picks back.
Yeah, he wanted all of them.
I'm going to threaten to take Bo Callahan, and Seattle's going to be really pissed because
they didn't want him first.
Yeah, they're going to be so mad about it.
And the rationale is like, you get the guy you wanted anyways for less money, and it's like, well, no, because then we're giving up all these picks we had. So you really didn't get them for less money. You got them for picks that you had that you could have kept. And
plus minus the fucking punt returner.
Right.
So you had to lose the punt returner, which is a very important position.
Well, they did show that the fans were upset that they weren't taking Bo Callahan, that they traded away the first round pick.
Yeah, we did see some protests outside the headquarters. So
apparently your protests work.
I guess it was
like that's the other funny thing. They announced the trade earlier in the day, right? That the Browns were trading up to number one. And so the people heard that on the news and then immediately went out to the facility to protest the trade. And they had like dolls made up of like the GMs. Like, yeah, they made that shit real quick. Like, they were waiting on that. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, that's right.
It was. Yeah, they were ready to go. I guess they don't have day jobs. Like, I can come out here and protest on that. I guess isn't it a Friday? Doesn't the first day of the draft a Friday?
Thursday. Well,
now it's, but back then I think it wasn't it just all on a Saturday. I thought I remember there was a time where the draft was Saturday, Sunday. It started at like noon on Saturday.
Oh, I don't remember that. I thought it used to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then they stretched it out to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That moved. I don't want to say it's in like the mid 2000s. I know whatever year Adrian Peterson was drafted, I remember watching that on a Saturday. That was like during the day.
Okay.
So that would have been like 2000 and. Five, something like that, 2006, maybe.
It could be, but we just did the first round, right? In this movie, we just get the first round. That's it.
Well, now the first round's Thursday.
Right, but this was a weekday. My point is, these people weren't at work.
Right.
They had to like not have jobs. They could just go and protest and say, "We're so pissed that we don't get Bo Callahan, you asshole."
No, they took the day off. They called in sick.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna take my mannequin. And string it up.
What? He traded the first pick? All right. Calling in sick.
I'm done.
I gotta leave the office.
Yeah. My day is fucked. I gotta go deal with this now.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what bugged me the most is the idea that, like, Seattle's like, hey, you haven't really lost anything. It's like, no, you absolutely lost your three first-round picks that you had already stolen from the Browns. You're just giving them back, which is insane.
They don't even negotiate. He's like, he called you, man. He wanted to do this. He's clearly trying to get his picks back. Come back with a counter, be like, one first round pick, that's it. Take it or leave it. And Kevin Costner would have had to have taken that.
Costner already didn't pick the guy when he could have had him at the first pick. So like, if I'm the Seahawks, I'm like, go fuck yourself. You're not picking him. You would have picked him already if you wanted him. Get the hell out of here.
Give him all the same picks back to go up one spot. Like, that was what those picks were, to go from 7 to 1. And now you're going from 7 to 6 for the same amount?
I wish he had called his bluff. I wish the Seahawks guy was like, no, you're not going to pick him. I'm calling your bluff. That would have been an interesting, it's like, what the fuck, what is he going to do? I don't know. Does he
he's
going to
just get fired. He's going to literally get killed by Dennis Leary at that point. Like, he's going to have, the next two drafts will have no first or second round picks. That's fucking hilarious. Oh, man, he would have been screwed.
He could have drafted Callahan and then traded him. Like, they could have done something interesting with that, but instead it's like, we want all our picks back and the punter. And like, okay, sure. It's like, what?
And he gets it because I guess Seattle decided that they really wanted him and they could. I just did nobody's motivation.
It was the fans. The fans protesting.
I guess it didn't make any sense. It was absolutely infuriating. I wanted the movie to have, okay, what does Kevin Costner's character really do well in this movie? What is his philosophy? What has he got going on?
He's got swimmers.
Is Vontae Mack no matter what? He wrote it down. That was his philosophy.
Well, he might have ultimately been right about that. It's like, okay, yeah. Say for example, he is the best player in the draft. Good, you got the best player in the draft at the 7th pick. Good job. You know, your quarterback's healthy. You might have a pretty good team the next year. Save your job.
Now they get the star running back, Arian Foster, or whatever his name was.
Yeah, it's like Raymond something or other. But yeah.
But he could have got that pick anyways.
Right, but the thing is, he's not a confident guy, right? He's not confident. If he was, he would have just been like, I'm drafting the linebacker. That's the best for the team. I think that's what we need to do. That puts us in a position to succeed. Or better yet, trade down and draft the guy you want anyway. Because you're so confident, and add draft capital, be really awesome. But he doesn't do that. He just needs to be reassured by everybody. He's constantly got to go to Jennifer Garner. I don't know what to do. Boop, boop, boop. And Jennifer Garner is one of the least convincing football fans I've ever seen. I was not convinced for a second that she liked or loved football at all in this movie. Wasn't even slightly convinced. It's like I don't believe
you. Why? Because she's a woman.
No, because she's Jennifer Garner. And she just seemed like she was like, there.
Women have to be nurses. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, they have to be physician's assistant. You're speaking too highly of them. You're talking them up. I don't think they could do that. There's a scene where Dennis Leary is like yelling out some long play. TY Spider Banana XYZ Shift Callahan Woo Woo Zibby Zibby or whatever he says. She's like, you don't even know what that means. She's like, I know what it means. And a better written movie would have given her a line where she actually describes like all the player's responsibilities for that play that he just listed off. Instead, she just says, I know what it means. I am hurt that you would say I don't know what it means. It's like, no, have her cut it through the bullshit of the play call and say, oh, you're having this guy shift into pass protection. These guys are running posts.
But why would the cap space attorney need to know any of that?
That's what I was just getting at. None of that was her job. Her job was just, she's a lawyer, right? Which is,
and it's just math mostly. Contracts and math. But so she says like she's a football girl.
In-house counsel for the Browns? Is that like who she is?
No, I think she's like just in charge of the cap. I don't even think she's in-house counsel. I think she's just in charge of the cap. Like, there's somebody at the cap specialist. Everybody's got one, right? Because you can't be over the cap at the start of the year. There's all those rules that you have to follow. But she says she's really into football. She loves it. She worked her way into it and absolutely loves it.
Well, there's the one conversation she has where she breaks down like a game from 20 years ago. And she's like, oh, yeah, that was a great Super Bowl or something like that. Super Bowl 28. That was a great one. Oh, yeah,
Browns versus whomever, whatever it
was. Right, yeah. And that's the only piece we get where like she displays her knowledge about football as she talks about
annoyed by everybody in the office. I mean, there's a lot of idiots in her office, so I get why she's.
There were some things where it's like, you know, give me some coffee, and she's like, that's not my job.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not getting coffee for you idiots. She had a couple of decent lines.
Yeah,
a couple, and she sticks up for the nerdy intern a few times. Right. Like, don't yell at him. I like, okay. They give her a little bit to do, but not a lot. They don't give her a lot.
She's the mom.
But you guys know what The Blacklist is, right? The
TV show about the...
No, the where they rank all the the insiders all rank the scripts that came in that year, their favorite movies of the year.
Oh, yes. Like unmade yeah, scripts.
The best unmade scripts.
Yeah.
This was number one in 2011.
No way.
Yep.
Apparently, some people
thought it was well written.
Unless it got heavily edited by Ivan Reitman or whatever.
Well, I sure hope the script doesn't have these trades in it, because if you're writing anything about the NFL draft and you put these idiotic trades that would never happen or are so unrealistic and stupid, like it's a bad script. You don't know football then. That's my takeaway. So whoever wrote this does not understand the NFL.
I wanted them to have the balls to write an epilogue. I was waiting for the epilogue. We see movie ends, the Browns are about to take the field for the 2014 season. I wanted a little epilogue, and the Browns went on to win the next 5 Super Bowls because Kevin Costner's character is so smart and awesome. Hooray. They named the field after him instead of his dad. Yeah.
The Browns went 6-10 again.
that would have been the humorous ending. That would have been a way to undercut all the drama in a way. That would have been
Sonny
great.
Weaver was fired at week 12.
That would have been great. See, that would have been a really ballsy move to do it that way. But I was like, they showed him as some sort of genius when he just looks like an idiot every step of the way. And he's saved by people just being even dumber than him, I guess. But I wanted them to just have a little epilogue and just say, you know what, this is fantasy nonsense. Why don't you just throw that in at the end? It's shockingly stupid.
The real converse of this movie is Moneyball. And Moneyball is an incredibly well-written movie. It flows perfectly. It goes real inside. It doesn't assume you're a dummy and you don't know anything about baseball. But it somehow makes cap space, which is basically what that movie's about, interesting and fun. And entertaining. It's the converse to this shit movie.
It is, because Moneyball's about, like, people focus on scouts and stuff, focus on the wrong, arbitrary, stupid shit. Like, you're missing the point. Like, how attractive is your girlfriend?
If he's such a good hitter, why doesn't he hit good?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't remember that line from it. I just know they're like, oh, he doesn't have any confidence because his girlfriend's not very good looking. Like, what? Like, no, you're focusing on really stupid stuff, and this movie does nothing but focus on really stupid stuff.
But, like, if Costner's character was some genius with drafting, and he's like, he knows these guys, he knows their ins and outs, and, you know, he knows if a guy's giving footballs to his dying sister or not, like, oh, okay, he knows, like, weird things about players, and he's got some track record where it works, or he's got different ideas. Like, that's something, but it's not – that doesn't happen in this at all, except we just see him make stupid trades and then somehow bumble his way into getting a trade back that he never should have in the first place. So, it's – like I said, it's
– In the end, he gets the first overall pick for 3 second-round picks, I guess, ultimately in the end, which I guess that's a decent deal. So, good for him, I suppose.
Brilliant.
But he still drafts the guy that he could have got way later.
Oh, yeah. The problem is there's no way to make the NFL draft interesting in terms of it being like an actual movie. The reality is it's a bunch of nerds arguing and talking about scheme and technique and fit and some of the character stuff and personality stuff, and coming up with this tedious long plan. And we didn't even pay any attention to the back half of the draft. It's literally just the first round. We only care about it. After that, we're done.
You wouldn't talk about how many ladies Bo Callahan can score with in a week?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think that would probably be
that was pretty scintillating. What a conversation.
Talk about before me, too. He has a fucking website listing all the girls he's fucked. Okay. That's tough.
But he still couldn't get anyone to come to his birthday party.
Well, he got a bunch of people there, just none of his football teammates. You know, just a bunch of hangers-on, you know, a bunch of yes men and women, I suppose.
What does that say about him?
I don't know. Who cares? If he's a really good quarterback, do you really care if his teammates like him? Do they need to be pals off the field? Who cares? If some of the like Chicago Bulls that played with Michael Jordan hated Michael Jordan, and you'd be like, well, I guess I don't like the championships.
You mean like Steve Kerr, who he punched in the face? Guys like that?
Yeah, like, who cares? Like, you won the championships. You're trying to win championships. You need to be able to play together. You don't have to be best friends and pals. Who cares?
Yeah.
You put up the numbers. And all we have about Bo Callahan is the friend thing, and then he got rattled by perhaps the best defensive player in college football, or one of, in a game where he made some bad plays, got a little flustered. Okay. That's it?
I was going to say, the NFL draft, really, the only thing that is interesting about it is when people make really stupid decisions.
Right.
Like, there's never been a, like, oh my God, what an amazing thing that happened at the draft where you're just, like, blown away. It's always like, what a bonehead. The Vikings really didn't call their pick in, so they lost it. Like, those are the things, like the Falcons really drafted a quarterback after signing Kirk Cousins. Those are the big takeaways usually for the draft. It's just people being dumb. Like, what a like, why would you draft that guy? You could have had him earlier or whatever, you know. Usually.
But yeah, because nobody knows, right? You can say, I like these guys that the Vikings drafted this year, but nobody knows shit until they get the field. And even if they're good, what if they get injured? Like, what if Bonte Mack breaks his fucking leg the first game of the season? Okay. Well, you're already kind of screwed. That's already a wasted pick, even if you didn't get him. Like,
yeah, what's the draft grade for the Browns in this movie? They would get it probably an A.
Well, yes. Back then, you still cared about running backs early. Now you would draft a running back six.
They're going to get hit for drafting Mac first. Like, no matter what, they're going to get – that's a D-minus.
Because that's an – right, because that's an overpay because you're using the first overall pick. Correct.
Right, right.
This is like in fantasy drafting, like – I don't even try to think of equivalent. Like, drafting like a kicker in this third round or something. Like, even if he's a great kicker, it's like, okay, that kicker is going to be available four rounds later.
Right.
What about a punter?
Sure.
Punter named Torrey.
Rory Taylor, yeah, I hope you're prepared to see your Vikings playing the Bears and having to constantly try to start drives from their own one. I hope you're prepared
for
that.
Apparently, Caleb Williams texted him, was like, we're not going to be punting very much, so we don't need you.
Yeah, we'll, yeah. The Bears quarterback will be great when we see it. You know? But Tory Taylor, yeah, you're gonna be pinned, you Vikings fans. Get used to certain drives on inside your own red zone. Just get used to it.
Do you think DeJean fell out of the first round because of all his fair catch calling?
Yeah, I think that single-handedly cost him the first round. I think he should sue that ref for however many millions he missed out on.
They were like, hey, watch the end of the Minnesota-Iowa game. You know, they're like watching tape on him. Like, oh, this guy's good. He's like, watch to the end. Watch to the end.
Look at that half circle his arm did. That's it. See?
Check he sent out. Him the tape. Watch to the end.
Watch till the end. Because they wouldn't have saw that, just like in draft day, right?
Right.
At the end of the movie, Kevin Costner's mom is there, and he's with Jennifer Garner. And he decides just unilaterally to tell his mom that Jennifer Garner is pregnant.
Didn't check with her at all.
Didn't want to have a conversation about announcing it, what the plan is. He's just... And that's a character growth, is that he just shared it with his mom?
I was really hoping at some point he'd be like, when he was in the closet, he'd turn to her and say, I think we need to have an abortion.
Oh, my God.
I think we need to abort the baby. That would have been an interesting little twist in the movie. It's like, we can't have people know this.
Make
you work
it a little
for
dark.
Me.
Yeah.
I'm 30 years older than you. I am like 65 years old, and I'm going to have a baby. We need to clear this up.
Speaking of abortion, I'm going to abort my plan to pick Bo Callahan with the first overall pick.
Hi-yo.
A little abortion humor for you guys.
Well, yeah, they're awesome. That's what people want. It's everything about the personal drama, the NFL. I mean, there's nothing that's not aggressively stupid about this
movie. There's something sort of charming about it, though. Like, I didn't want to turn it off. I did want to see what happened. I was interested in, like, how is this, like, train wreck going to end? But, I mean, we've watched worse movies on this podcast, I think. This is not all-time worst film we've watched.
Okay, so I was thinking, like, this movie is aggressively, tectonically stupid. It's probably not the dumbest movie we've watched. I think that's probably, like, Halloween 3 Season of the Witch might be the dumbest movie we've watched.
But, like,
this is close.
This guy that made Ghostbusters, like, he's a legit filmmaker, and this is just terrible. It's like, funny to me.
It was just very dumb. It was colossally stupid. I guess I wasn't as bored as I've been, I suppose, but it's like the whole conceit is just, it's a stupid premise for a movie to begin with. I mean, you're just like drawing dead. I don't know how you'd make a movie about the NFL draft actually interesting, because the reality is it's just a bunch of boring.
Yeah, and games. You have to really water it down if you're going to have non-NFL people watch it. I mean, it'd make it a really small audience. And the worldwide box office was terrible, because who gives a crap about the NFL draft if you're living in China or whatever?
Yeah, outside the U.S., who gives a shit at all?
Isn't the NFL draft like one of the highest rated live events of the year? I mean, doesn't it get like stupid ratings?
I mean, maybe in real life in the U.S., I'm sure that those numbers don't apply to like Europe or Asia or Africa.
Well, probably, yeah. I mean, if you're shooting for... I mean, this movie did sort of feel like an advertisement for the NFL.
It clearly is. I mean, the NFL approved all this stuff, so they didn't want to look bad.
Why? They made people who run the whole show look stupid.
I don't know. Roger Goodell's just like, hey, any exposure is good. This is going to release the same week as the actual NFL draft, and it'll get people pumped. I don't know. Yeah, I don't get it. It is I cannot fathom that Hollywood people are like, this is a great. They can't possibly have thought this was a great script. They can't. This is so stupid. I mean, maybe it's because people in Hollywood don't understand football at all, so they thought the drama was interesting, or they didn't get. They thought this is how the NFL draft worked with like. It being really easy to fleece people.
Well, Hollywood loves ticking clocks too, so yeah, there's a countdown.
Yeah, they tried to make that dramatic, and it just wasn't. I was like, okay.
So the 2024 draft was down 3% from last year, averaged 5.7 million viewers over the 3 days.
Okay.
Oh, that's a lot over 3 days.
Sure.
Yeah.
But like, is that your overall audience for a movie 50, like this?
53.6 tuned in at some point over the 3 days. 53.6 million people.
Oh.
Million viewers. Tuned in.
53? I thought it was, okay, not 5.
53.6. 5.74 million viewers average. That's the average over the 3 days. But in total, I guess there's a different metric that someone had, like if you tuned in at least once throughout the whole draft, sure. 53 million people tuned in at some
sure,
point.
But almost all that is like fans of teams wondering who their teams are going to pick. I mean, that's, and you don't know, and then there's that excitement of just like, oh, who are the new players for my team going to be? You don't get that with a fictional movie.
So I guess if you're producing this, you do have to play the numbers. You're like, okay, so 50 million people watch the draft. Say, that's 50 million. You're not going to get every one of those to come see your movie. You might get a third of that if you're lucky. So how do we capture a larger audience? Well, we got to have Kevin Costner. We need to have a love story. We need people that maybe don't care about the NFL to see it. And that's the like probably reasoning there is like we got to cut this movie up and chop it up into something that isn't just draft shit, because we're only going to get 20 million people to see it if it's just draft shit. And that's all they ended up getting anyways. I think, wasn't it something like 20 million you said, Kevin?
Yeah.
Worldwide.
Yeah, no, that's the logic for having all the extra stuff in it. Sorry, yeah, go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, it recouped its budget, but that was it.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. We broke it down. I don't really have a whole lot. Kevin, you got anything else you want to get off your chest right now?
Just that the skies were dark. All the stars were in this movie. It did have amazing cast, I thought.
It was star-studded. I thought Kevin Costner was just bad in this. It was like, it's just bad. I don't know what his character is on about. I don't know what his goal is. I don't know what he's good at. He's just some rich guy listlessly going through draft day without any semblance of a real plan. Didn't make sense to me. I was like, somebody angrier. And more explosive. Like when he throws the freaking laptop, I was like, okay, I didn't buy that. I was like, you more abound the whole movie, and then you just have this bizarre outburst when your mom shows up to spread your dad's ashes. It just didn't work. I didn't think it was good casting. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of stars in it, though. I mean, yeah, they paid a lot to get all these people in it. I wonder how much do you think Sam Elliott got paid for his 3 hours of shooting at best? Like, do you think he made a few hundred thousand?
Oh yeah, for sure.
He's probably got like a minimum. It's like some sort of minimum deal.
You don't even have to come on location. We'll just go to a park.
Yeah. Well, we'll get a bunch of people to wear Wisconsin stuff.
I swear he was on a golf course or something, and they're just drive up.
Sure. Just don't be alarmed when a bunch of football players run around next to you. Just give us an hour to set up the lights.
I looked up Moneyball, which came out in 2011, so a few years earlier, made $110 million worldwide. Okay. So that was the big hit movie, which is probably why they're like, well, we just have to do it with the NFL draft and get a guy who's sort of like Brad Pitt doing sort of the same thing.
Except he does the exact opposite thing. He doesn't use any analytics whatsoever.
His affects. He's kind of the same character. You know, he's a GM. He's kind of angry or short with people. He's kind of the same guy.
I guess. I thought Brad Pitt was eminently more likable in Moneyball. I was more interested in what was happening with him, like, from the get-go.
First time you said a nice thing about Brad Pitt, I think.
I like Connor. Brad Pitt just fine. I don't know where you're getting. I don't think I like him as much as you, but who does? I mean, really. Quentin Tarantino, maybe. No, he's charismatic. He's a star. I get it. That's fine. But I was not invested in Kevin Costner's. Whatever was happening, I didn't care. I didn't care about his plight. I didn't care about the Browns. And I don't like the athletics either. But in the context of Moneyball, their story is interesting, and you're on board. Here's a franchise that doesn't have the money to compete. They have to try to find value elsewhere. He's got to deal with the entrenched knowledge about what you look for from a guy who was supposed to be a can't-miss prospect but missed. And now he's trying to find talent. That's way more interesting than the Browns just doing stuff.
They hired a private detective to find out
use the dirt's on. Fucking knowledge that... useless crap that's supposed to be meaningful.
Ask me who that was. Ask me
that guy. God damn it,
just tell me. Kind of funny because it was super annoying, and then Costner's character was like, God damn it, just fucking tell me. So he was getting annoyed by it too. I was thinking about that too. Did he hire that guy that day and he got that information like within a few hours?
He's head of security. I thought he was the head of security. Right. Like, I thought he was on the Brown staff, so I don't think he was like hired. I think his job is to do research on players and assess risk and stuff.
Oh, because they were picking seven, so they obviously wouldn't have needed to do any research on Bo Callahan, who was going first. So
right. So he was doing last second research about him because they assumed that he wasn't going to be available.
I mean, If you're, I always wonder too, if you're a general manager of a sports franchise, like, what are you doing all day? Like, what's your day to day? You get into work, what you just Google people and you're looking up different athletes, watching tape. Like, what are you doing all day?
You watch a lot of football.
I mean, on the draft day, I guess it's probably hectic and crazy. And it starts where the Seahawks guy's actually sleeping in his office because it starts at like 5 a.m. or whatever. On the West Coast, which I thought was kind of interesting. But, you know, on a, like, September day, if you're the GM of the Browns, like, what are you doing all day? Your team's set. Season starts.
Well, there's injuries. You've got to figure out cuts. And you got to say, do we trade? Do we need to make a move somewhere along the way?
Who to put on the practice squad?
It's like a cushy job.
Of course. That's part of the problem with this movie. I'm like... this guy is getting paid, I don't know how many millions a year to do this. Is he exceptionally good at it? No, he got the job because of dad. Who cares? He's not some genius. There's 32 GMs. The shittiest teams in the NFL have GMs. The Browns have had GMs making lots of money and failing spectacularly. Who cares? I don't feel bad for you if you suck at your job. You whatever. I don't care. You're getting paid an obscene amount of money.
But wouldn't you talk to the coach? That's the other thing. I find so crazy. You're building a team and you have a coach that has to coach them. Wouldn't you want to have some input in like, hey, like this is going to be the guy you bring in. Like, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, the system matters, right? Like, different kind of guys can handle different covers. Some linebackers are really good at rushing the quarterback, but maybe they're not as good in pass coverage.
And this
or
coach
can run zone or man.
This
or
coach hates rookies. He hates rookies. So getting a rookie quarterback seems like a pretty bad idea.
And the only reason he goes for the quarterback is because at the day of the draft, at the stupid water park, the owner says, "I want you to make a splash." You wouldn't have had that conversation. You would have waited till the day of the draft to have that conversation? No, I think you would have had that conversation weeks and weeks ago.
You've known what pick you have since the end of the football season.
Correct. Like, you would have said, we need to do something big. The fans are bummed out. Ticket sales, we've got to do it. Fine. You're the owner. You care about making tickets. You would have that conversation, not the day of the draft. Like, goodness gracious.
But then also Dennis Leary would have known that, too. He'd be like, dude, this is out of my hands. Like, the owner wants us to make this move. We can't, you know, we can't do anything about it. He's going to fire us all if we don't. It's like, all right. Because I'm sure Jerry Jones has probably said to GM, like, hey, this is what we're doing. I don't give a shit if it's smarter or whatever. This is what we're drafting this guy. Like, it doesn't matter.
Oh, sure. They're absolutely, like, idiot owners who have come in and make dumb choices and argue or get people. Like, yeah, of course. Ego gets in the way. But, like, it would have happened more than the day of. Like, everything, because they have to condense the drama, it becomes so artificial and stupid and implausible.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was literally just draft day. This movie was just going to be about this one day.
That you're going to get a ticking clock from the second it wakes up. Just draft starts in 12 hours, in 10 hours. Okay. This is the kind of movie that just doesn't need to exist. It is baffling that they made it. I guess give them credit for deciding to a movie that doesn't need to exist and shouldn't exist. You say, fuck that, I'm going to try and make it anyway. But you don't need to make the NFL draft interesting to a casual person. Who cares? This is dumb.
All right. Well, do you want to give a rating on it, Kevin?
I've got – this movie was completely mid. It was it was like a average movie, so I'm going to give it 2.5 stars. There wasn't anything – good about it. It wasn't that bad. It was just meh.
I mean, I'm at 1.5 because I thought this movie was aggressively stupid. I mean, I was entertained more than a 1.5 star movie because it's so dumb, because every choice is just idiotic and incomprehensible and makes no sense. This is like, we've seen like sci-fi movies that are more plausible than this. This is just one big, this doesn't make a lick of sense for even a half second. Like, I couldn't suspend my disbelief at how stupid it was. But if I'm just, the artistic merit of this movie, despite the starts and gas, I thought the script was terrible. The filming was annoying. Yes, the constant, home of the Chiefs, home of the Bills. Just people show up for a few seconds. Just everything was so incomprehensibly stupid. Anyway, it was dumb. I mean, I wasn't bored, but it's dumb.
If you're not the audience for this movie, then who is my question.
I don't get this. People might like laughing at this movie. Like, this movie, if you're a football fan, you can laugh at because it's so dumb and so wrong. Like, not morally, just like they got everything wrong and it's funny. But there can't be anybody that earnestly is like, what a triumphant win. Kevin Costner and the Browns. I'm so happy he figured it out because he's such a genius. He's so cool and awesome. David fucking Putney. But I was mad. You didn't even seem mad. I didn't, like, you came up with this plan at the last second. It wasn't your goal. And you just, whatever. Sorry, we've already beaten a dead Brown here. So,
is Kevin Costner a good actor? Do you guys, thoughts, opinions?
He's been good in some movies, but mostly he's just Kevin Costner.
He's got a 2-part Western epic coming out this summer, and I'm actually pretty excited for it.
Is he directing it?
He's wrote and directed and starring in a 2-part Western epic.
Oh man!
Well, that'd be fun. And as an everyman, in the right role, he works. So in Dances with Wolves, he's like some Civil War veteran who goes out west, and he's just plain spoken, and it works. Field of Dreams, he's just some random Midwest dude. It works. He's just some average schmo.
I mean, he was like the biggest star in the world for like
He made Waterworld.
Right. Gigantic star, Bodyguard. He's like one of the biggest stars ever.
The baseball, Bull Durham, right? He's in Bull Durham, right? Yeah. Am I thinking that? Like, he's really good in that. As just like a
he's
guy
in
who
like
knows baseball.
He's in like three baseball movies. He's in, what's the For the Love of the Game too? He's in a bunch. He's in a, like a bunch of sports movies.
Sure. As just a guy.
Tin Cup.
Sure,
golf
sure.
Movie.
That can work, but as this like rich asshole guy, GM. It just didn't work. It's just poorly miscast. Didn't work. I don't think he's particularly good in Waterworld either. But that movie's got lots of problems. It's not just
I
Kevin
love that
Costner.
Movie.
Well, that's fine. You like it ironically.
He can't. Yeah, he can't play an asshole. Like in Waterworld, he was supposed to be an asshole.
And yeah, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Yeah.
But as a cowboy, as a guy sitting around in Old West, the shirt, that works. I'm confident that he can really pull that part off. He's got a little bit of the Clint Eastwood vibe. Like,
you guys Yellowstone fans? No?
I've not seen it, but I don't think I'd care much for it.
It's good.
Sounds like a melodrama set in Yellowstone that just sounds ludicrous whenever I hear people talk about it. It's like, what? there's four seasons of this? Okay. But a Western, a two-part Western, sounds good. But yeah, he doesn't have this infinite range, right? He's not a guy who can do anything. You can't like plug him in any role and he's going to succeed. He needs the right spot. He can do some things.
For Dance of the Wolves, did he win Best Actor, Best Director? Did he go like a clean sweep with that and Best Picture?
I don't think so, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think so.
Because it did win Best Picture, right? You know that much, right?
Yes.
Yes, and I assume he won Best Director. That's usually a safe assumption when a movie wins Best Picture, but I feel like that's a fact. I would have heard that he like won actor, director, and best picture all in the same year. He's the only person who've ever done that because I doubt that's ever been done before.
It won best picture, best director, best supporting actor, which is
Mary something or other.
No, actress too, but supporting actor went to what's his name? He was in, he's the Native American guy, I think.
Sure.
What is his name? I can't think of it. But yeah, he did not win, looks like he did not win Best Actor. But he won two Oscars for Best Picture and Best, he pulled a Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson, he didn't win Best Actor for Braveheart, did he?
No, I don't think so. Again, I don't think that's ever happened. I doubt somebody's ever won Best Director, Actor, and Best Picture in the same year. I don't think that's ever happened.
That is a hefty feat if you could do that.
Wow. Yeah, there aren't that many that have all the talents and the skills to do all of those in one year, I don't think. I mean, it's tough to be a really great actor and to be a director and to direct yourself in an actually like excellent movie that isn't just an ego picture. It's tough to do, I think.
How many Oscars did Draft Day win?
All of them.
Eric, what's your rating? I don't think we heard your rating yet.
It swept Cannes, though, right?
Yeah, Palme d'Or. I'm a 1.5, too. Like, the trades are just idiotic and stupid. I do love the Seahawks slander, though, that they were dummies. That gives it a half star. the Wisconsin quarterback being a little bitch gives it a half star. So, you know, it had some good things going for it. That's what I'll say.
Okay, well,
it's an entertaining enough movie.
Yeah, it's more entertaining than I'm giving it credit for. There are times that just made me annoyed. Every choice, I'm like, oh, you went with this choice. Oh, you picked the dumb choice. You just keep picking the dumb choices because you didn't really know what to do. I guess I don't know.
Best actor went to Jeremy Irons for Reverse of Fortune, I think is what it says.
And this is 91. Or 91.
Yeah.
For the year of 1990. Got it.
Right. Yep. That's right. Reverse of Fortune. Never heard of that movie. Actually, Joe Pesci won Best Supporting Actor that year for Goodfellas.
Okay.
Good choice.
Yeah, I guess his performance, it amused me.
Well, like he's a fucking clown?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, that's draft day. The bell has rung. We've made all our picks, and we will never think of this movie ever again. Hopefully.
I'll think about it occasionally.
I bought it, so dumb. I'm gonna.
Oh no!
I purchased the movie.
I'm so annoyed that somebody somewhere gets like money for that, like that registers and stuff. Somebody gets like 10 cents for that.
You'll have to expense that to the Pot of Dreams.
I'm gonna watch it again next year.
Yeah, every year. It'll be a tradition.
Every draft day.
Honey, it's draft day. We're watching Kevin Costner again.
We gotta wait. Yeah, we gotta get going.
And this is okay, honey. This is where the Seahawks were really stupid. Okay, honey.
The Browns are really dumb, but don't worry. Don't worry. The Browns are gonna be smart, and the Seahawks are gonna be dumb later.
Wait till you see what happens next. Oh, I did the one last thing I wanted to say. I forgot to mention it. Chadwick Boseman has his cell phone case is like brass knuckles in this movie. Yes. Did you see that? Puts his hand in his cell phone case. It's like brass knuckles. It's the weirdest, strangest choice that I've never seen in real life, and that can't actually exist in real life, that your cell phone case would be a pair of brass knuckles. But I just thought I'd mention that because it was and then he's supposed to be some like gentle guy and wonderful person. They're like, what is he just smashing brains with his brass knuck cell phone case? That's weird.
That's just symbolic. He doesn't actually use it. It just symbolizes his tough persona, you know, on the field, because he needs to help raise his nephews.
Because his sister died of cancer.
Because they wouldn't let it gave the nobody knew it was his sister. Nobody, no news outlet covered it. Everybody just assumed he was giving it to his girlfriend or some lady. Oh gosh, not a single person knew.
That schmaltzy story would have been all. They would have played it over.
Everyone would have known it. Kevin Costner wouldn't have been the guy that sees things that nobody else sees. Oh, come on.
I mean, how many – you watch the NFL draft now, and half of the draft coverage are these stupid background stories on the players, you know, grandmas or, like, where they grew up. Like, they in the fifth, sixth round, they have these packages on these players that nobody's ever heard of, and it's like they tell their whole life story. You mean to tell me Kevin Costner wouldn't know that fact, like one of the most significant events of the college football season? They're like – had a huge impact on probably one of the biggest games of the year, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Ridiculous.
And he doesn't discover any of this stuff on his own. He gets fed. Vontae Mack says, look at the footage. Somebody else does the research for him. He doesn't see things that nobody else sees. There's no evidence of that anywhere. He gets the intel about the party from the head of, like, oh God, sorry.
Well, and it's also like, we've watched this a million times. Like, let's watch it to the end. It's like, were you not watching the game? Like, when it happened?
You didn't know that the best defensive player on Ohio State was out of the game? That was, I think he was actually out. Oh, yeah, that's right, if I'm recalling
correctly. I mean, how often do players get ejected in college football? It rarely ever happens. Like, it would be a huge event.
And this is a guy they were considering drafting, and they just didn't remember that he was ejected from the game?
Ridiculous.
I wanted everybody fired. They needed to be fired. Frank Langella needed to just – everybody's head needed to roll in that stupid draft room. Just a bunch of idiots. But anyway,
onward. All right, so what movie are we watching next, fellas?
Oh, boy. Well, it's based on a book called Nothing Lasts Forever, written by Roderick Thorpe. 1979 book.
That's when the book came out, but not the movie.
That's when the book came out, Nothing Lasts Forever. The movie came out in 1988.
Okay.
And it spawned four sequels.
Oh, shush. Give me a minute here. Let me see what I can cook up.
88.
Four sequels. Nothing lasts forever.
It's not a Terminator, is it?
No, it's not Terminator. The year's wrong for Terminator.
Terminator was not based on a book.
Well, yeah, I suppose. It was inspired by a fever dream, wasn't it?
I don't know the year rashes, but this is my Tremors? Tremors is my first guess. Okay, I don't think the years line up correctly, but okay. Nothing lasts forever.
That sounds like a Bond title, almost.
Sure.
Why Didn't Diamonds Last Forever is literally a Bond title.
The plot revolved around bearer bonds.
Bearer bonds?
Yeah.
I don't even know what the fuck that means.
Is it Die Hard?
Yes, Die Hard.
Okay.
That's right.
All right.
We're going for it. Alan Rickman, Bruce Willis.
This movie sucks. Okay. I don't want to talk about it. This is dumb. I'm just kidding. Relax. Everybody relax. It's a classic, obviously.
Excellent. All right. Die Hard.
I haven't seen it in quite a while.
Original Die Hard.
That's correct. Original Die Hard. Not Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Or not the Die Hard. Atrocious A Good Day to Die Hard, the fifth one.
Oh, did God. People watch that?
I saw it in the theater.
Oh. Is that the Justin Long one?
No, that's the one after the Justin Long one.
The Justin Long one's not that bad.
That's this actually one's okay.
Wait, is that with Timothy Oliphant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That one's that's okay. The fourth one.
Yeah. And fifth one, I didn't realize people actually watched that one.
I saw some. I had one of my buddies was in town, and we marathoned all of them, and then we finished it by saying A Good Day to Die Hard, and it was, I mean, that movie rancid ass. It was terrible. As bad as a Die Hard film, bad as a movie, it was just terrible. But anyway, the OG Die Hard, awesome.
Yep, directed by John McTiernan.
All right.
Come on to LA.
It'll be fun.
Fucking California. All right, cool. Die Hard. Let's do it. Thanks for listening.
David fucking Putney.